D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, Really Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingen here with you, joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Predators television analyst Chris Mason. Chris, the Predators wrap up their road trip tonight against the Seattle Kraken, and it certainly feels like a critical game considering where this season has been thus far. But as you've watched the Predators through the first four games of their road trip, which areas have you seen the most improvement or cause for encouragement?
I would say this trip, one thing aside maybe from the Edmonton game, I think defensively, I feel like every night they go out, I kind of trust them a little more. I think earlier in the season, you know, I think anyone that's followed the team, you know, from last season carried over to the beginning of the season is like, I don't know what we're going to get from these guys. You know, it just looked discombobulated and out of sorts. And there was no real part of their game where I felt like I could go into a game thinking, well, at least we have this, you know, until, you know, Juice started playing well, then you're like, okay, you know, at least Saros is going to give him a chance. But in terms of their overall game, there was nothing that really gave me that confidence. But now I think this trip, I think they're starting to get it defensively. I think, so every game that we go in now, I feel that, okay, the guys, at least they're going to play solid defensively. They've kind of figured that part out. It's looking consistent. The offensive side of things is the one that, that it is next, seems to be last to come around. So I think defensively, that's given me hope, because I feel if you can get that down and you get good goaltending, you have a chance to win every game. Obviously last game, the goals came, and that's the part that they need to keep, you know, keep moving forward here and try to find some consistency in that part. It seems like there's going to be statistically, there's got to be a correction somewhere along the way, or at least that's what the numbers are telling me. But that's kind of been inconsistent this year. Every time I think that they go and score, you know, five goals in four games, or four games and four goals in three games, something like that. So hopefully they can carry that over into Seattle.
One player who has been conspicuous by his absence on the score sheet is Jonathan Marchessault. He has 0 points at 5-on-5. So far this season. When he was on the ice for Roman Josi's goal against the Canucks the other night, it was the first time this season that Marchessault has been on the ice for a Predators goal at 5-on-5. I know he's a good player. You don't, Conn Smythe, bad players don't win Conn Smythe trophies as playoff MVP. So I know he is a good player, but I've been disappointed by what I have seen from him so far this season. What has been missing from his game that has made him a non-factor at 5-on-5?
Well, that's the one that's really, I've had a tough time, because, you know, I remember seeing him in Vegas and just seeing this guy is everywhere. You know, he's getting to places quicker. He's attacking the net. He's got such a great shot, great release. And I don't know, you know, everyone takes different amounts of time to get settled in, but I feel it's almost past the point where, you know, it's maybe a little bit in his head right now, but I feel like he's almost like, he played better last game, was probably one of his better games against Vancouver along with many other guys. But I just feel he's not getting to the interior, and for whatever reason, he'll pull up and pass pucks away, and he just doesn't look comfortable out there. And I don't know what the reason is, but it's obviously taken a lot longer than everybody would expect. And I mean, you got a guy's, as you mentioned, Conn Smythe winner, 42 goals last year. He's got a great shot, and he's not really getting a lot of pucks to the net. I think, you know, aside from last game where he started getting a little more, you know, action toward the net, I think, which was promising. And, you know, you kind of look like the player is making plays and getting things done a little, that nice pass over to, you know, he's made some nice cross ice passes and starting to get his game hopefully going. But I really honestly couldn't tell you. And I think that's something that that's more of a personal question to him, why it's not getting, but it just, for whatever reason, it's just not translating to success or the shots on goal. He's a high volume shooter. He's not getting that. And I feel he's just not getting to the inside as much as he should be.
Now, see, Mace, they've been able to get some points the last couple of games. Now, they haven't been wins, one of them, but they were able to come out of it with the point. Now, moving forward with this team, 5 of the next 8 games are at home. How critical is it going to be for them to at least get a point, seeming they're playing the majority of their games in the next 8 games at home?
They got to, you know, honestly, and I heard you guys talking earlier about the Thanksgiving cutoff, mm-hmm. and this team has got to, they have to have a playoff approach. Like it's got to be some desperation. It's not going to be easy no matter what the situation is. And they got to, you know, their big guys got to lead them. It was nice to see Stamkos. We just talked about Marchessault. Yossi's got to get on the board more. Even that, the top line that carried them last year offensively has been, you know, the offense hasn't been there for them either. Those are the guys that have to, if they're going to win, if they're going to get back in this thing, those guys are the ones that have to score. You know, I mean, in the first 3 games of the road trip, I think they scored, or 4 games of the road trip, they scored three goals or something like that. It was four goals. Cole Smith, Michael McCarron, Colton Sissons, Luke Evangelista, and they managed to get 2 points out of the first 3 games. They got shut out in Calgary. That's not the recipe for success. You know, they go into Vancouver, Stamkos gets a couple, you know, Roman. Those are the guys that have to score. They're playing the majority of the game. They're put out there in the power play. Those situations when you need a goal, Philip Forsberg, you know, we know all the guys. Those guys got to get going, and if they're going to do anything with this home heavy part of this schedule, it's those guys that are going to have to lead the way. So, you know, promising game in Vancouver. We've seen the team have a promising game here and there, but can they follow it up with another effort like that? They got to score goals. At the end of the day, that has been probably the most disappointing thing with this team, that you thought was going to be, you know, that one of their strengths would be offense, and that's probably been one of their biggest weaknesses. So those guys got to crank it up and keep putting the puck in the net.
We're talking to Chris Mason, Predators and the Kraken tonight to round out the 5-game road trip, and then they've got the Winnipeg Jets, who were impressive last night, coming in on Saturday for their next game. So, Mace, you told a story, and it was late at night. It was in Vancouver. I thought it was an interesting little tidbit for goalie people, right? UC Saros has played very well, and he made a little adjustment in his goalie stick. Explain that, because I think that's a pretty cool thing if you're looking for little details there.
Yeah, well, I remember when I actually skated with the team, I was in there and looking at his gear, and I was looking at his stick, and I was like, oh, man, that's a heck of a curve there on the stick that he was using. And it was one that was the pattern of Sergei Bobrovsky, and it had a little bit of more of a toe curve. So in theory, you're going to be able to shoot the puck and get it up and shoot it a little harder with less effort. And he said, I love this stick. He said, I've been using it. I said, the only problem is the paddle's you know, a little bit too short. And so I'm just going to wait. I'm going to use my old ones and then order the ones with the shorter paddle or with my paddle lengths. And it had been taking a while to get the stick. So it was almost on the game against Boston. That's kind of when, you know, Juice kind of started going on a tear.
Right. Since then, he's been really good.
Yeah. He's kind of said, ah, screw it. I like this stick. I'm going to use it anyway. So he used it. And ever since, he's been using that stick. And what that does is it'll bring you a little lower in your stance when you're standing upright. But when you're down on the ice, you can lead and you have more control. You can have better coverage if you have a shorter paddle. It can be a little closer to your body, and you can have more control in those situations. So it's a completely different feel, even if we're talking like, you know, 1 or 2 inches difference in paddle length. And for, you know, he started using it, started playing well, so he stuck with it. So it's kind of an interesting little marker there for the stick change.
No doubt about it. One more I want to ask you, Mace, before we let you go, is the word swagger, right? I was watching the game back on Sunday night. Zach LaRue scores a goal, his first NHL goal. That kid's got swagger, right? And he's given a little boost to the fourth line that was a huge, huge black hole before he came up. They're not lighting the world on fire, but they're much, much better with him in there. And I think his career is on a good track. I heard Barry Trotz talking about this yesterday. He's played pretty well. It takes time. Hopefully he's going to get there. I would like to see the swagger go through the lineup a little bit more. You mentioned the top guys. I'll zero in a couple guys to ask you about. Tommy Novak and Luke Evangelista. Those are guys. Novak, of course, is not a demonstrative player. We know Evangelista's got a personality to them. They're very close. I would like to see the swagger with those two guys a little bit more. That's another untapped portion of the lineup that if they could get going, what that could mean to the team. I know there's better in them. I feel like they got to get the swagger back.
Well, 100%. And swagger's confidence. Success breeds confidence. Confidence breeds success. But how do you get them when you don't have them right now, right? So I think those guys, definitely. When you look at the team, I mean, Tommy Novak signed a really good contract. And for the reason why he got paid the way he did is because his production was near, point per game. You know, not quite that level, but pretty close. And some would argue that if he went to the free agency or went to the open market, he might have got more than he got paid here. But, you know, right now, you know, when you look at this team, you're depending on, all right, Luke Evangelista had a good year. He's got that swagger. As you said, he was really good in the second half. Now let's see him take a step forward. Let's see him take the next level. Let's see him earn an opportunity to play on maybe, you know, the second line. Tommy Novak, to me, going into this season, and still even now, when you wanted to try to get Marchessault and Stamkos together, Tommy Novak he has the skill set. He's got to be the centerman on that line. It's too much to ask of Colton Sissons to play those types of minutes and those types of situations. He's not, they're putting guys on that line that are not be able to hold on to the puck and make plays and, you know, get coverage, which Novak is able to do. He's got that heads up playmaking, can slow the game down. He's got a speed boost to his game if he needs it. And he can get those. He can distribute the pucks in theory with his skill set. And you just haven't seen it this year. You know, obviously he's coming back. He's only played, a game did he play Calgary or just Vancouver? It's just Vancouver, I think. So, he's played one game, looked like he's still coming back a little bit slow or whatever, but he's definitely a guy. We need that source of offense. And we talked about the big guys obviously scoring, but he could be a big guy for this team. You know, if in an 82 game schedule, you get him, if he plays 82 games, 60 point range, he's got to be in that neighborhood. And right now it's he's not making the plays. He can be the half wall guy on the second unit on the power play. And those guys definitely need to elevate their game and continue to develop. So we'll see if he can move forward here, just coming back off that injury, but definitely need him to play at a higher level for sure. Both those guys.
Chris Mason, Predators television analyst, joining us as he does every Wednesday. Chris, always a pleasure. Enjoy the game tonight.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Chris Mason joining us, Predators at Kraken. Puck drop at 9, pregame at 8, right here on 102.5, 106.3, the game broadcast nationally on TNT. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we have some Titans updates for you. And Derek, I hope you took your blood pressure medication, my friend. I don't even know if you take blood pressure medication, but I hope you have some.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
We'll get to that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, the game.